Henry Obo.
What?
Henry Obo.
I don't know what that is.
You, after playing Hokuto Musou, after playing as Rei, you didn't hear that 40,000 times and memorize what every single move is and means and does?
The only move I remember is Shisho Hakurai.
Of Rei specifically, or out of all of the moves in that game, that's the only one you remember?
Of Rei.
Oh, okay.
And that's soaring.
I was going to say, because after watching Fist of the North Star, if you haven't memorized how to do Hokuto Shinken by now, you're completely hopeless, and when the bombs go off and we're stuck in the Mad Max biker apocalypse, you're going to be so screwed.
Yeah, because you learn the entirety of that martial art by watching.
No. I learned Nanto Hoken, so I'm going to be Souther. Except my heart's
well,
on the
I learned
except my heart is
Suichoken, so I'm going to be Rei.
So you're going to die because... Why? I forget.
Rao is going to stab me in the chest with fingers.
Oh, right. Now I'm going to die because Kenshiro is going to discover that my heart is on the opposite side, even though my heart is on the correct side. So when our Mad Max biker apocalypse happens and I have to fight Kenshiro, my arc will be...
The first time.
Yeah, instead of the second time. See, I'm more expedient. That's why I'm better than Souther.
Wait, then that means Shu is gonna live.
Who's Shu? I don't even remember. I don't remember any of the characters in Hokuto no Ken.
Except for...
Okay, I remember most of the characters in Hokuto Shinken, or Hokuto no Ken, but I don't remember who Shu is.
Shu is that Nanto guy that was like a replacement
guy. Yeah, I remember him. He's the guy... Didn't he come in like after Rei died?
Yeah.
Okay. So I always forget his name, and for some reason, I know it would be spelled S-H-U, but I feel like I remember him better if I think that it's spelled S-H-O-E.
It's S-H-E-W.
I don't know who we're talking about anymore. Are we talking about a person, or are we talking about a footwear? I don't know. So, Hokuto Musou, or Hokuto no Ken Dynasty Warriors, or Dynasty of Fist of the North Star Warriors.
Or North Star Warriors.
Nanto Seiken, Rao Gaiden, Jaggy Gaiden.
Well, that's what the story mode should have been. It should have been Rao Gaiden, Jaggy Gaiden, Me Gaiden, and Hokuto Gaiden. You get to hear the story of the North Star.
Was it Hokuto Gaiden just what the main story was?
Oh, yeah.
That's not a Gaiden. Gaiden is, by definition, a side story.
No. It's a side story because it's the story of the North Star. In all of its billion years of existence.
It's just sitting up there, being part of the Big Dipper, going, yo, I'm the North Star. Ships, they use me as a way to garner direction.
I can't wait till the future when they mostly stop.
And then, like, it jumps forward 10 million years or so. Or, I don't know, it jumps forward to after the Mad Max biker apocalypse and goes, hey, Star of Destruction, what's up? And then they, like, make out. I don't know. I don't know, can stars do that? Isn't that what binary stars are?
Sure.
That's how baby stars are born. Because binary
that's
stars...
how you make more stars.
It's not. But that would be an interesting concept. So, Hokuto Musou. I feel as though I've described the entirety of the game by saying Hokuto Dynasty Warriors.
I think you've described the entirety of the game by mentioning that it is a Fist of the North Star game.
I don't know. I think, there were Fist of the North Star games before this. They were mostly garbage.
Especially that NES one.
Yeah, a lot of them were made as part of that series, and I think they were always garbage. I know of one fighting game, and that was okay. Although, I gotta be honest with you, if one of the people in your fighting game has a technique that blows up people's brains, I don't know how you balance that. Either you don't let the move do that, which isn't right to the source material, although how much you would care about that, I don't really know. Or you don't make it, or you do make it do that, and that character is unfucking beatable.
So unless you make Mugen.
The only I downloaded Mugen, and I downloaded like 5 or 6 characters, and then I downloaded the Death Star, and I'm like, if people can put this in the game, there is absolutely no way in the world that they can keep that this game could have any semblance of balance. That was the most retarded thing. That, I don't know.
We're not here to talk about Mugen. Yeah,
we couldn't talk about Mugen. There's too much in it. You could not talk about 1/10 of Mugen. Although, to be fair, I would use Mugen to recreate the JoJo's Dreamcast fighting game.
I would just use Mugen so that I could beat the crap out of anyone that plays Mugen with abridged Polnareff.
I had forgotten about somebody making that. I don't know. I think the only real reason nowadays to do Mugen is to beat the shit out of those fat people who make videos of themselves doing Street Fighter moves.
If you want to do that, just play the Kinect fighting game.
I love the Kinect fighting game. You don't even need the Kinect. It's actually, if you can find somebody to play it with, it's actually free.
No, you have to do it while there's a Kinect in the room. It actually watches you. Whenever a fight happens in front of it, it starts recording it.
It automatically uploads it to YouTube.
Yeah.
It gives it its own custom title, though, so you have to make sure that nothing on you is embarrassing. So, like, if your fly is down and one of you has cerebral palsy, it's like Penis Man versus Cerebral Palsy Guy. I don't know.
Well, like, one of them is wearing a shirt that says Noob, and the other one is wearing pants made out of spaghetti. So it's like spaghetti.
I thought you were just going to say pants that said Noob. And I was like, where would you buy that? Who would wear a shirt that says Noob? Like, that's not a positive term.
People are crazy, what?
I guess. To be fair, I am wearing a shirt with a baby strapped to a bomb, so I guess I don't have any real grounds to talk.
You also have a shirt that says, I am football 24/7.
To be fair, I only bought that shirt because it fit, and it was $2, and that was the only time I've ever bought a shirt. That's not true. But
he
it was
owns
the...
two shirts, people.
Yeah, that's right. I bought this shirt as well, so I guess that what I just said wasn't true. Like I said, it wasn't. So Hokuto Musou, it's okay.
The game that gets you sidetracked when you try and talk about it.
It's okay. Like, didn't you say it got a 32 from Famitsu?
Yeah, that's actually kind of good.
Yeah, Famitsu, I actually have never read Famitsu. I know that they've given, like, what, 6 or so perfect scores in their run?
13.
Yeah, not a lot. They gave it a 32, so obviously they thought it was kind of all right. I think it's okay. I think that I am somewhat blinded by the affection I want to give it because it is Fists of the North Star. Honestly, the game's pacing is kind of bad because the only really interesting parts of it are when you fight bosses and when you're not fighting a boss, it's really like, hey, a bunch of guys, blah, 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 blah. Beat them up, and then, like, oh, there are no more guys, I blew them all up, or deleted them into ham cubes, and then it's like, oh, okay, I guess I gotta move on. Then you run for an hour, and then you find another big group of guys, some of whom may have crossbows, and you beat the shit out of them, and you just do that for, like, 2 hours until you fight a boss. And the bosses can be okay. The thing, though, is that the bosses are only somewhat good. They do not have enough good reaction, and there aren't really a whole... The combat system is kind of weak overall, but it sometimes will play their rendition of Aiwa Torimodose, and that's kind of awesome. I wish I could go around beating people up while that song played.
Well, why do you need to beat people up? Wouldn't you just want to go around while that song plays?
Yeah, I just want everything I do to be during while that song plays. It just feels appropriate. It just feels appropriate to want to beat people up, because honestly, whenever that song played, what happened? Kenshiro would kick and lightning would strike, and then the Hokuto no Ken logo would pop up, and then he would kick the logo and it would explode. Did that happen?
I remember the lightning part. I don't remember it exploding, though.
I don't think he ever kicked the logo, but I do know that he would do a big flying kick and there would be lightning.
Well, actually, him kicking the logo was like the blooper. He missed kicking the lightning.
You're reading Ape at Theater right now, right?
Yeah.
Years...
Does that have bloopers?
No. But years back, somebody decided to make an 8-bit theater Flash cartoon. And basically, it just took strips from the comics and added animation to it. Initially, it was pretty simple, had amusingly done voices. Later on, it got a little bit more comprehensive, and somebody did make it to the point where they decided to do some bloopers to add some extra stuff to it. You know the scene... Have you gotten to the point where... Black Mage, unable to do a Hadouken, throws fighter at people?
Yeah.
There's a blooper of that where they do that, and they do it like it's wire fighting, and he's stuck up there, he can't get down, and they all leave. They shut down the entire studio, but they forget to get him out. What's funny about that, though, is that there's a later episode of Ape at Theater where, I don't know what characters you've run across, but Red Mage tries to do a dramatic dive towards Black Mage and Thief, and in order to make it in slow motion, he casts Featherfall on himself, but he casts it so much that he can't actually fall all the way to the ground and ends up getting stuck in the air for a whole day. And they just sort of leave him in a castle. It's kind of funny.
Now, the last thing I read was they voted on who was going to leave.
Oh, on who was going to be part of the Light Warriors?
Yeah.
That's something of antiquity. It's been... I don't remember exactly when Ape at Theater ended. I think it was last year. I thought it was a pretty good comic. It's actually... I don't know, if you're not into sprite comics, it may not necessarily be something you can get past, but the writing, it's decent at first, and then gets significantly better as you go. There are some moments in it that are just outstandingly funny. But Hokuto Musou, that is a game that pretty much starts at okay, and ends at...
Okay.
Okay, yeah. To put it into perspective, I think I said this on, at some point, I don't know, maybe I just thought it to myself in a dream, but there are, you know when you can tell when you're watching a good show, you'll tell yourself, okay, I have something to do, I'm going to watch 2 episodes of this, and then I'm going to go do that. And then about 3 hours later, when you've watched 6 episodes of it, that's when you can tell that you're watching a pretty good show.
Yeah.
And that was sort of the feeling like I had with Mushishi. That is not how Hokuto Musou was with me. Hokuto Musou was, I'd play it for like an hour, and then I'd stop, and then I'm like, I'm not done with that part of Hokuto Musou yet, but my butt itches, so I'm going to be scratching that for like an hour. I can't really play right now. And I'd eventually work my way back to it, but I mean, after a while, but if you play the demo... Other than the mildly different fighting styles between characters, you have played pretty much the entire game.
Yeah, it's incredibly repetitive.
It's sort of depressingly repetitive. I mean, when I heard that it was made by Koei, and I didn't know this until after we had gotten it, I'm like, huh, you know? Having you wander around in a big area... with a big boss to fight and a bunch of little guys that you can just blow right through. Actually sounds like good structure for a Fist of the North Star game, because what was Fist of the North Star? It was Kenshiro walking around being invincible until they found somebody else with martial arts and could fight them.
And even then, he'd still blow through them.
Not necessarily at first, but was it the structure for Fist of the North Star always...
You're already dead?
Well, yeah, that.
That's the entirety of the show.
You're already dead. Kenshiro just says that and your television explodes.
Your TiVo is already dead.
No, for antagonists in Fist of the North Star, it was always, I'm going to fight you. And then, like, I've actually won. And Kenshiro was like, oh shit, gotta go train or meditate under a Bodhi tree and become the Buddha. And then he'd come back and fight them again. It's like, Kenshiro, you have become the true master of Hokuto no Ken, Hokuto Shinken. And then Rao would show up and go, what's up, bitches, and punch everyone. At least I kind of wish that was what happened. I kind of wish
that... might as well have been what happened.
Basically what I want is I wanted Rao to be Dio Brando.
Sup, bitches?
Seriously, I want a villain to be like Dio was both... I want a combination of Dio from actual JoJo and Dio from Abridged JoJo. Where really what I want is I want Dio from regular JoJo, but I want him to show up at places and just go, sup, bitches?
And just blow everyone up.
Because honestly, taking real Dio into account, is that far removed from his actual personality?
No, I want a combination between Dio Brando and Rao, because then it'd just be Dio Brando, only with a shorter haircut and a cow-like body.
And ridiculously proportioned.
Yeah.
I guess I'm not surprised by it, but I almost kind of wanted Yahtzee to review this game, not really because I thought he would look positively upon it, but because I wanted to see his reaction to the proportions of people in this game. Especially because, like, I mean, we're kind of used to it because we've seen Hokuto no Ken before, but it's something that you really have to step back and realize. I've been watching anime that we have on the shelf. I watched the Blackjack movie, and I watched through most of Cowboy Bebop. I haven't actually sat down and watched the last episode yet. Not the last disc. And I'm like, you know, sometimes you have to step back and realize that things that you've come to accept are actually really fucking weird. And I was watching Cowboy Funk, the episode with Andy, and it's the scene where they're at the costume party, they're gonna try to capture Teddy Bomber, and they get interrupted by Andy. And I'm like, oh, okay. And then I thought about the scene, I thought, how would I describe this scene to a person who walked in the room and wanted to know what was going on? I said, oh, well, see, those two are bounty hunters, one of them is disguised as a hippie, and they're being interrupted by this man who thinks he's a real cowboy who rode into this costume party on a horse through an elevator, and they're not going to be able to complete their catch because all three of them are after the same guy who is dressed in a bear suit.
Well, how would you describe Rao then? Because he's completely insane.
Dude, Rao, like, having a sort of despotic king who wants to take over a hellish wasteland to bring order through tyrannical rule, I'm not sure if that's a common element in fiction. It probably is. It sounds like it is. What's weird about Rao is that a normal person could snugly fit three heads across their shoulders and not have any room left, with the side heads poking out over the shoulders a little bit. Rao could comfortably fit five of his heads across his shoulder line.
Well, actually, the reason that happens is because his armor just has so much padding under it that it becomes really wide. And, like, the reason his arms stick out so much is because, actually, he has two elbows, and what looks like his shoulders are actually his first elbows. His forearms are just really long.
That is the most retarded thing ever.
Or is it the smartest thing you've ever heard?
You know what? Considering No, still no. That's still pretty stupid. But then again, we did. To be fair, we did just watch Riding Bean, and that contains some of the most balls-out stuff ever. I don't want to go too far into it, because I wanted us to talk about Riding Bean on the next podcast. But I have to admit, I lost it when he pulls out the walnuts. I was just like, what the fuck is going on?
Dude, you're angry. I need to bring out my emergency walnuts.
Well,
I'm
that's
really
what it is.
Angry.
Like, he's like, he gets really angry because this guy calls his car a piece of shit. And he's like, oh, fuck you. And he's like, you know what, buddy? You can go to hell. These are my anger walnuts. He just stuffs all these walnuts into his mouth, which I assume he does to demonstrate how angry he is by biting through, like, 50 walnuts. It's like, I am the ultimate squirrel.
Well, that's what they didn't tell you. His father was a squirrel.
But why is his name Bean? You would think his name would be like Nut. I'm the Nut, but I guess Nut Bandit sounds like some sort of weird homosexual euphemism. Or like maybe an oral sex euphemism. Oh my god, this isn't a, we have to save it about Bean Bandit. We can't talk about
it. We can't do that yet.
No. But it's, I mean, like,
that's
the kind
of, how the walnut thing is what I wish, like, Kenshiro or Rao would do whenever they got really angry.
Instead of that sequence in Hokuto no Ken where Kenshiro powers up and all his clothes explode, he just stuffs a bunch of walnuts into his mouth.
No, because it's post-apocalypse. He, like, takes out a giant water jug and starts, like, glugging it until it's, like, gone in 5 seconds. See, I am the ultimate water drinker.
That's how he actually kills people. He doesn't know a martial art in that version. He just drinks all of the water so all the bandits die of dehydration.
Yes.
Oh my god. I was just gonna say, like, he bites through all the walnuts, and they're like, nobody could fit that many walnuts into their mouth, and then when he does it, their minds are so blown that they're literally blown and they explode.
Based off Hokuto Musou, the water thing makes more sense because that's where he gets all his energy.
That's a good point, and I'm still convinced that those things are sausages and not ham.
They're ham.
Wait,
you remember what I thought it was at first?
No.
I thought it was an open, rusty tin can.
But it... You know what? Fair enough.
Was a cheese stick.
Let's at least describe briefly the mechanics. As for the story, if you've watched Hokuto no Ken, you know the story. It is a straight-up throw of Hokuto no Ken in legend mode. In dream mode, it's basically a what-if scenario where you see what would happen if characters were able to live sort of like how they would if they lived the way they wanted to, I guess.
They didn't die.
Yeah, if they didn't die. Rei saves his sister and doesn't get blown up by Rao. Kenshiro is able to live forever with Yuria happily, which is really what happens at the end of Fist of the North Star anyway. Rao... I don't remember what happens with Rao, because I never finished playing with Souther, so I didn't see what happens with Rao.
You beat up Kenshiro, and he's just like, yeah.
Yeah.
I win.
Toki is cured of his illness by Rao and resurrects the Village of Miracles. Jaggy teams up with Amiba and they become respected like they always wanted to be. Souther becomes the king of the universe. And I forget who else you can play as. Mamiya. Sure. Mamiya goes on to become the world's greatest combat yo-yo specialist.
Well, that's what happens in Legend Mode, too.
I'm not gonna lie. Mamiya should not have had a Legend Mode, because...
I'm gonna describe Mamiya real quick. Mamiya is a cool Tsukeban Deka.
To a point. A cool Tsukeban Deka that's not really... You don't have to go far, because she's still using combat yo-yos, and that's still stupid.
But she does it in the cool way. She's a cool kid.
I guess as cool as you can get with combat yo-yos. That's still dumb. Mamiya is... she's all right overall. Honestly, the best thing about Mamiya is that they don't repeatedly say the names of her moves every time you do them.
That's the worst part.
That is the worst thing about this game. Like, if it had happened the first time you used a move and in the ending QuickTime event sequence when you beat up a boss, I would have been okay with that. But the fact that they do it every single fucking time, it gets old super duper fast. Because you will hear the guy who does Kenshiro, you will hear him say Hokuto Hyakuretsuken so many times that you will hate that move. You will hate doing it because you have to hear it again. In fact, actually, it's better later on when you have the when your specials cost more to do because you don't hear it as often, so it's less irritating.
No, the one thing that annoys me the most is Ray's move, Soaring Pure Grace, which is Shisho Hakure. I swear to God, I hear that in my dreams now.
Yeah, because he always finishes fights with it. Like, not only does... Yeah, I think that's... yeah, that's... No. He always does it with Hien Ryobo. Until he fights Judah. Then he does Soaring Pure Grace. But, honestly, I don't know. That was annoying. The levels are repetitive. When you do Dream Mode, at first it's better because in Legend Mode, enemies are very, very sparse. You usually will fight a big pocket, and then they'll be gone, and you'll have to move on, you'll fight another big pocket, and so on and so forth. In Dream Mode, at the very least, you are... there are big pockets everywhere, and you're fighting pretty much constantly, and it's a lot more frantic. So at first, it's more fun, but it does sink into repetitiveness because there's no variety in the enemies. There are... well, there's some variety in the enemies a bit, but not enough, honestly.
Well, you know what the variety is? There's regular people, and then there's crossbows.
Well, in the regular grunts, you're right. There are people who will fight you up close, and then there are people with crossbows. And I am convinced that this game was created by a man who has a friend who's a really big enthusiast of crossbows. So he created this game to make you hate crossbows. Because crossbows are the most bullshit thing. Unless you see them when you're walking in, you will never see them until they start shooting you. Even if you do see them when you're coming in, you're probably missing like 500 more. Crossbows always stagger you and knock you down. It is the most frustrating thing. And they're usually perched up somewhere where you can't hit them without doing, God forbid, the worst platforming in the universe. Because jumping in this game is super awkward.
I don't know, is it worse or better than Shinobu was in Nemiris 2?
I guess. You know what? I'm going to go ahead and say that it is worse because you're expected to do it consistently with multiple characters, where once you had done those two things with Shinobu, it was over. Though, to be fair, I do think that the jumping itself is better. You have to do it more often.
But then you get paid back because Mamiya keeps wiggling her ass at you.
That was so awkward. Like, I know that as things go, Mamiya wasn't exactly the most positive female figure. In fact, actually, I was sort of wondering how she would be received by people who are not familiar with Fist of the North Star, because maybe back then she would be considered like a little bit more positive towards a female light, but nowadays she'd be considered a little bit goofy. I don't know, because I feel that she would be perceived as somewhat sexist, which is not unreasonable. So yeah, that's okay. She's not that useful a character anyway. The most useful thing about her is that she herself has a crossbow, so you can whore yourself from across the room. And saying Mamiya can whore herself just sounds weird to me.
I think it's the lasting effects of us watching Speedcrafter.
God damn it. Yeah, I don't know. It's okay. if you like Fist of the North Star, you might be able to power through the repetitiveness. I would suggest never playing it for more than an hour at a time, because you will go into a haze. Personally, I only really found it to be interesting to play while being Hokuto characters, because Nanto characters don't have as many variable combos. Basically, what they have is a long chain that you can continuously add to a point. Hokuto characters have differing combos depending on when you decide to do your heavy. It's not nearly as complex or as fun to use. The combat system is kind of like Bayonetta in that your moves are based around switching between two different attack buttons, except instead of Bayonetta, where there were billions of combos, not that many, but a lot, between when you'd alternate between punching and kicking. In Hokuto Musou, it's, I've done this many light attacks, now I'm going to do a heavy attack, and it'll result in this combo. So it's less fulfilling.
They need to get Platinum Games to work on the sequel then, right?
Yeah, exactly. I think that a Hokuto no Ken game that had the Bayonetta engine and a lot of enemy spamming, I think that would be better. I think that would, in fact, be a lot better, and I would play it, and it would be kind of cool.
It'd be like Bayonetta, only with the Fist of the North Star thing going on.
So, infinitely better, because, because Fist of the North Star.
I mean, blow people up by...
And you know what? If you want to get the creepy sexual shit in, Mamiya is still a character, and you can give her better combos. And in fact, actually, what you do is you have multiple characters... But instead of giving them multiple weapons, you give them combat upgrades or maybe, like, different moves. Sort of like you do in this, the upgrade chart. I actually think that the skill tree is done kind of okay. To a point, as it goes, I sort of prefer the way Bayonetta does it, where everything is given to you up front, and it's really just your job to master it as the player, as opposed to, you only have this much access to our combat system now, and we'll give it to you, give you more access later as you play the game. But still, I don't know, I thought the upgrade system was okay.
It was.
Yeah.
And then the aesthetic was alright.
Yeah, it looks, it looks nice in a certain way. I can imagine other people saying that it doesn't look that great because, well, while I think it looks okay and the enemy designs are alright, they are repetitive and you're going to see the same desert environment over and over and over and over again. Technically, it is a sound game overall, though. I just wish there was more variety. But it's done like Dynasty Warriors, so what can you do?
Dynasty Warriors.
Yeah.
Again.
So the basic way I can think of it is to put it like, if you like Fists of the North Star, you might be able to put up with the repetitiveness of the overall game to get to some of the cooler moments, like when you fight Rao for the first time, and Genshiro does his super shonen hero power-up moves like Rao. If you look above you, you can clearly see the Star of Death. And then you beat him up to, Ai wo Torimodose, and that is pretty cool.
Yeah.
But those moments are too few and far between, so you'll have to power through it by, like, I like Fist of the North Star, so I will tough it out for the sake of that.
Yeah. Anyway, is there anything left about the game, really?
Not that I can really think of, did we say all... I mean... I don't know. I can't think of anything else. I feel like this game is somewhat sparse, and I feel like when I said Hokuto Dynasty Warriors, I think I described it in its entirety.
You did.
Yeah. So, it is a game that has some things in it that are enjoyable, but it would have worked better if they had, instead of doing it Dynasty Warriors style, where you have a few moves and some specials with a lot of little enemies that can't do much to you, if they had done it more like Bayonetta and had just a bigger enemy spam sandwich. Maybe, like, make the enemies a little bit easier to kill overall, but make there be a whole hell of a lot more of them. I don't know. I don't know if that would be better than having tight groups of enemies and then just having there be, I don't know, having them be tougher to kill. That's sort of inconsistent. I'm not really sure.
I don't really know. But now that we're done talking about the game, do you know what we need to talk about?
What?
I Will Toy Moto Say.
That is a song that you should listen to while you do anything. Because it is, I don't know, it's like a power-up theme song.
Well, like, what you need to do, you need to install a tiny speaker in your wallet. So that whenever you open your wallet and pull out just like a $1 bill or a quarter if you put it in one of those 18,000 pockets wallets have now, it plays that, so it's like epic pulling out dollar.
Yeah, but you need to have like, I guess you could have it play, have that same device on different things that you have. Like, that plays the original version that played in the first version of the show. You open up your cell phone, and it plays the version from the 2000 OVA, the one sung by Masaki Endo. Undo your fly to go to the bathroom, and it plays the version from this guy. It's like awesome piss music. I am taking the most epic piss right now. And everyone's looking at you going, what the fuck is that guy's problem?
Oh, wait, I will tell someone to say that. No, that's awesome. I like this guy.
And then, like,
everyone
like,
becomes your friend.
Like, there's that one guy who still doesn't get it. Like, I will explain it to you. And then you get an erection and it blows his brain up. And that's what
well,
will happen
no,
to the
no,
rest
no,
of you,
you,
too.
No, you tell him to put your to put his ear close to your pants so he can hear it more clearly. And he's like, awesome.
Just rubbing your dick on his ear. This is retarded. So, yeah.
Dick ear.
I'm going to associate that with Masaki Endo now. You know what?
I'm sorry.
That's okay. You know what I'll do? I'll just look at that that album cover he has where it's just him yelling really hard while fire comes out of his mouth.
I love Masaki Endo. He is absolutely insane. I told you about the one time I watched on YouTube a live performance by Jam Project.
And, like, Masaki Endo is, like, fucking nuts.
Well, like, he's just standing away from everyone else. And he just starts, like, spinning around in a circle, pointing his hand up to the sky. And he, like, the mic isn't even close to his face. I'm sure that there are parts that he's supposed to sing, but I think he just does whatever he wants, and people pay him to do it.
I have heard that he's supposed to have his own theme song, sung by him.
He does.
The problem with it is, he does? Is that a real thing? Because it's something that I don't really know how you would look that up. Because I tried looking on Google for Masaki Endo theme song, and it just gives me theme songs sung by him that are not necessarily about him.
Well, maybe every song he does is his theme song.
We're going to get to the post-Mad Max Biker Apocalypse. He's actually going to be Kenshiro, because he sung Aiwa Torimoto Sei at some point.
Yes.
Does that
the bassist in every rendition of it?
Does that work for every singer on Jam Project? Does that mean that Hironobu Kageyama is actually MD Geist?
No, he's Ryoma.
But, shoot. What if he's Son Goku?
He's all of them.
He's Son Goku Ryoma Geist. Most dangerous.
Well, that means Masaki Endo is Guy from Galgaigar, Chiro.
Yeah, but I don't know. I think Getter Robo trumps Galgaigar. That's right,
oh, yeah.
I said it.
But
fuck your Galgaigar.
But doesn't Trump.
I don't know, I've
Ken.
Never watched Galgaigar, it might be okay.
What?
I've never watched Galgaigar, so it might be okay. Oh, that reminds me.
That, you know what that just made me realize?
What's that?
One of the girls, that means that one of the girls is Ash Ketchum.
Yeah, I know. I know. Well, maybe not. Maybe she's Pikachu.
Well, that's what all that nuclear fallout did.
Right. She'll evolve into a horrible mass of tumors.
I don't want to remember that.
I want everyone to always remember that. I'm going to post it in the in that little caption picture. I'm going to post that picture of Pikachu Cthulhu and go, "He's back." I might not do that. It'll depend on if I remember or not.
How dare you?
Oh, damn it. I feel so bad that I can't remember his name.
Who?
The oldest member of Jam Project.
Ichiro Mizuki?
Yeah.
The guy that, one of the founding members?
Yeah, I couldn't, for the life of me, I could not remember his name. So,
Is he Jin?
That was what I was wondering. Like, since, but he also sang Storm with Hironobu Kageyama, so does that, so, if Hironobu Kageyama is Ryoma Most Dangerous Son Goku Geist, does that mean that Ichiro Mizuki is Musashi Benkei?
Jin.
Yeah. Musashi Benkei Hayato.
I always want to say Jin, and I don't know why.
Well, it's his last name.
Oh, yeah. I don't care anymore. The only thing I remember from him is that he's really good at soccer. He can actually kick a bomb so hard that it will break through robot tiger teeth. And
it's
his one quote from New Getter.
What was that?
I mean, Getter Robo Go.
What's that? Oh, it looks like the only people who can pilot Getter Robo are either the, I don't remember.
Are the truly best pilot, pirate,
Are either the best pilots or the insane?
No, the best pirates. What are you thinking of? Getter Pirate.
Back in ancient times before they dug up Getter Robo.
Well, actually, this
it was originally piloted
building.
By Blackbeard.
No. This is when they were building the original Getter Robo. This was Getter Robo Proto.
Arg. I be stealing all the doubloons with this robot. Get a beam! I'll make ye walk the tomahawk.
Yeah, the Getter is the ship.
That's where Getter Emperor comes from. We's gonna be the first space pirates. Sir, there's nobody in space right now. Who are we going to steal from? I be the captain of this spaceship. Now follow orders, I'll make you walk the space plank.
I'll make you go out the poop deck.
he pushes the guy out onto the deck. He just floats away after dying of suffocation.
Because this, Getter is the ship, they are the first space navy.
I forget what we were talking about when we came up with that.
Oh, it was the land navy. We kept coming up with, various combinations of terrain and parts of the military.
The parts of the military that don't belong to that. The naval air force.
The underground army.
The subterranean army.
The volcanic air force.
The solar marines.
I remember this.
You will be
Navy.
Needing camouflage where you're going, sir.
You're gonna be burnt up.
Seriously.
I hope you brought some sunscreen.
Oh man, I've been put on sun detail. I better start writing to my family. They just launch you into the sun. They keep telling.
Protect
they might...
our borders. We can't let all that sun energy come in here.
They take pictures of the sun, of like the surface of it. They Photoshop a base onto it.
See, like, I told you they were real.
Well, you've convinced me, sir. Ah! It's hot. That's why we gave you that sunscreen. I don't think that's how sunscreen works.
No, I remember the space Navy because I came up with the idea. That all they're doing is they're, like, taking giant catapults and launching boats in them into space. They don't even get, like, space suits or anything. They don't even get oxygen. They're just kind of out there. All the people on there die immediately.
It's just a space barge. We've launched a space submarine. Sir, it's not going underwater. I don't think it's submarine anymore.
I don't think a sea of darkness is quite what they meant.
If we put it underneath the sea of tranquility, that doesn't count. This isn't a submarine anymore. This is just a metal tube in space.
It's a time capsule, because they're eventually going to open it up and find the dead people, and they're like, oh, I wonder what happened to them.
It's like 2153, and this is the result of the infamous Space Navy program of the late 21st century. This is the stupidest thing ever.
This is back when they used catapults to launch infantry into space.
We had all of that rocket technology, but we didn't want to use it. We wanted this. It's like the weapon that you only ever use during boss fights. We had all this rocket technology, but we didn't want to use it, because if we launched the submarines into space with catapults and they found aliens, we needed to make sure we could get up there for real to fight them.
No, the best thing, the submarine actually finds something, so they have to use the rockets to launch jets into space.
They're launching actual jets? Like fighter jets? Like an F-16? It's like, I watched Star Wars once, and if I know anything about space from that, this is how space fighting works. They kick up the...
Wait, they actually ran out of rocket fuel, so they're still doing it on the catapults?
They launch like 15 F-15s up into space, and then we're officially out of rocket fuel.
Wait, only half of them actually get into space, the other ones just kind of fell into the ocean.
That's what's happening with all of this stuff. We launch into space by catapult. We try to launch it into space, it gets up to the stratosphere, then just falls back into the ocean, and then the scientists who were in charge of the program, so they don't get court-martialed, Photoshop a picture of a submarine in space, but they don't even have, like, a picture of actual submarine, it's just clip art. Like, you thought I did Microsoft Word?
No, they had to get, like, the four-star general to doodle it on there.
This is what, sir, I don't remember us ever building a submarine with a smiley face on it. Well, this was my personal design, son. I thought that our space program would be a lot more effective if the aliens thought we were friendly.
No, it's like, that general is, like, really patriotic, so, like, it's got American flags ticking at the top, the color scheme is red, white, and blue. And you can, like, see people in the windows, and they're all wearing Uncle Sam hats.
People are sticking their heads out of the submarine windows. Why did we build a submarine with windows, sir?
Well, why did we launch it into space?
Well, we thought that in case the people were getting too warm, they could roll the windows down and feel a little bit cooler. It's space outside.
I think that would cause...
I'm pretty sure that if they were cool at all, they would immediately die of radiation poisoning. Yeah, but I thought that's how the Fantastic Four worked, so I was hoping we'd get a bunch of people with superpowers. Sir, you need to stop watching science fiction things, because our military programs are going nowhere. We're not biting people with radioactive spiders anymore, so stop asking us to.
Now, like, a month later, he watches, like, giant octopus versus Mega Shark.
Oh my god.
He uses the new Space Navy to try and create that, but he forgot that sharks come from the regular ocean.
What are they trying to create? Space sharks?
Yes. Well, they take their catapult, put a shark that just came out of the ocean, so it's still kind of alive, and launch it into space.
Oh my god. This has been the weirdest fucking tangent.
And I love it.
Agreed. Still, I think we should go ahead and stop. I have an episode of House on pause.
I think House can wait for the Space Navy.
Well, it better. Alright. Let's go ahead and close this one down.
Oh god, what are we gonna think up on?
I don't know. The only thing I can think of right now is, because I mentioned sunscreen earlier, I don't know if you remember this, but Budweiser used to do these things called Real Men of Genius commercials.
Oh, God. Yeah.
And some of them were funny. I don't remember most of them. I think they stopped doing it, which is too bad, because some of them actually were worthwhile. One of them was the guy was guy who wears 80 SPF sunscreen. And I remember that because apparently, I'm not sure if this is true or not. I'm not a sunscreenologist, but sunscreen's FPS is based on how many hours of protection it will give you. Now, there not being 80 hours in a day, I remember how they do it. You have 80 hours of protection. There are only 24 hours in a day. If the sun fails to go down, you will be prepared.
Just in case the Earth stops rotating.
And I'm pretty sure that if the Earth stopped rotating,
we would
the first
hurtle
thing,
into the sun.
I'm pretty sure the first thing that would happen, I don't even think we would be alive long enough to notice. I think that we would all fly off the surface.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that part.
Yeah. So.
Well, no, there's some people trapped in the buildings. They're stuck on the ceiling.
Well, they would just be smeared on the top. Don't lie.
Well, no, eventually they start flying up so hard they break through the ceilings. Like, one guy is stuck at the first floor of the Empire State Building. He has to go through all the floors.
If I hadn't died on the first floor, this would be so much worse. Okay, I've got something we can sync up on.
What?
Let's sync up on, you was shock.
Okay.
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 On three. Ready?
Sure.
One, two, three.